for his faithfulness. Guys, come back up here and join us. And I want Brother Levy, he is our district pastor. He's my pastor. He was my pastor growing up, and now he's my pastor again. And I just really love him. If I get any smart aleck remarks from the pulpit from time to time, I always blame him.
You and everybody else.
But he's got a great sense of humor, and I just have really appreciated him. I have a couple of letters to read from former pastors here. From Jerry and Sandra Hochstetler. Congratulations, Calvary Assembly, on your mortgage burning. Thank you, Pastor Manning and congregation, for a work well done. Amidst all the negative reports that we hear so often, it is exciting to hear a good report like this. As your former pastors, we believe this is proof positive that Calvary Assembly in Wilson, Wisconsin, is a good work. I know the Apostle Paul was referring to the church in Philippi, but you can take credit for the same church status. A good work, praise the Lord. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. We pray for a bright, blessed, and successful future for all our friends at Calvary Assembly of God in Wilson. Sandra and I are very happy for you. His kingdom is our priority. And then I got one on my phone, you know, digital age here. From Steve and Becky Kirstein, who were instrumental in building the old church. We're here when that took place. If you get a chance, I'm going to tease him a little bit. We paid off his debt, first of all, and burned that mortgage, and now we paid off this one. Good to hear from you. Please, Pastor, congregation, and friends of Calvary Assembly of God, Becky and I would like to congratulate you on this milestone for your church. It is a tremendous blessing to know that you have reached a significant goal. Although we would love to be there with you, we rejoice with you in this great accomplishment. Continue to strive to honor our Lord in every aspect of your church, your ministry as a church. May his blessings be yours as you grow in his grace and pursue the lost for his glory. Love and prayers, Stephen Becky Kirstein. And then on Facebook, you might notice on the church page, there's been some people that have brought congratulations. Craig Burton, who was a youth and associate pastor here, also has sends his greetings and wishes they could be here. As I thought about what to say, and I don't want to take much time, I just was reminded of the widow woman with the cruse of oil unfailing, and how God provided for her needs until all her debts were paid, and how God has provided for all of our needs here in getting this debt paid. Now, all analogies break down after a while. With her, the cruse of oil stopped when the debt was paid. We don't want it to stop. We want it to keep flowing. Our next priority is to pave the parking lot, but we want to be involved in a lot more ministry. But I want to thank you. Do you realize, as you were watching the slideshow, that the dedication was the first Sunday in December 8 years ago? So what a day this is. 8 years later, to the Sunday, we are here celebrating the paying off of our debt and burning our mortgage. Praise God. So actually, it was less than 8 years that we got it paid off. So thank you once again for your giving. Thank you to the Lord for his faithfulness. And at this time, we're gonna burn it.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
For your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you have been with us each step of the way. Lord, you have led us and guided us. And as we have sought you and looked for your will, through the series of events, you just led us. It was like you were saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, you are faithful to follow through and to keep your promise. Lord, we burn this mortgage today as a testimony of the generosity of your people.
Thank you.
And the goodness of our God. And we look forward to future ministry. Lord, that you would just continue to bless this church. Lord, that we could minister to the people in this area, but Lord, literally, the ministry from here could go around the world. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, the kids can go back to their program, and those of you that in the kitchen can get there. I saw Lydia. I didn't see her before. Is Dave here? He's not. It's his birthday. Wish him a happy birthday for him. Thanks, guys. Brother Levy, God bless you as you come and minister the word.
Eat your heart out.
Praise the Lord. This is an exciting day. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just say something. Success rises and falls on leadership. And this congregation has been blessed by the leadership of this congregation, the Mannons. Amen? Their faithfulness for nearly 25 years, 24 years, whatever it's been, has been astounding, and it has been incredible. And you need to realize, if you don't, what you have here. A pastor that came, committed himself and his family to the ministry of this area with an incredible passion and a vision for God to do something unique. I don't get to stand in a pulpit every Sunday. I'm in a pulpit, different pulpit almost every Sunday as being district superintendent. But I don't get to stand in a pulpit every Sunday and burn a mortgage. If he's good at paying off debts, I'd like to talk to him a little bit more. I got some other churches that maybe he could, if you don't really love your pastor, you know. No, praise God. Hopefully he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay right here, but what a great thing God has done. 8 years, $1 million building, probably appraised or insured for double that. I'm not real sure, but what an incredible thing you folks have done with the help of the Lord. And some have passed on. I bring you congratulations this morning from the headquarters and from the nearly 200 other Assembly of God churches and almost 700 credential holders, Pastor Mannon and your wife. We congratulate you and thank you for your years of service and what God has done through your ministry. Amen. I love the church. I love the church deeply. I've given my life for the church. A church is a place where people come together from all walks of life, all nationalities, all tribes, all tongues, all different walks. Some are married, some are widowed, some are single, some are children, Some are wealthy, some are poor. Some are sick and some are healthy. Some have much, some have little. But the church is the only organization where people come together and sit together. Republicans, Democrats, independents, and some don't even know what they are. We all come together and we worship the true and the living God. No other organization can say that. We leave all our cares at the door. We walk in, we embrace each other, we love each other, we pray for each other, and we're all a part of God's family. I love the church. And my wife and I are delighted to be here this morning. There's a passage of scripture that I want to share with you this morning found in Matthew chapter 21. The title of my message this morning is Lessons to Learn on the Journey. You have been on quite a journey here, and thank God for your faithfulness to the church. I remember as a little boy looking out, being raised out in South Dakota across the plains, and I would say, "Daddy, there's water on the road ahead." And they said, "No, son, that's not water. That's what you call a mirage." Well, it looked like water ahead, and I thought I saw water, and I would get there, and there would be nothing there. You know what I'm talking about. You know, vision's a wonderful thing. It puts everything in perspective. Vision helps with colors, and distance, and expressions, and beauty, and sadness. Our visions give us an awareness. I remember things looked different as a child. My dad had such big hands. I thought snow piles were gigantic when I was a kid. I thought holidays were magnificent, and Santa Claus or whatever. I mean, just everything looked different when I was a child. But things change. But God gives visions to everyone. I want to talk to you this morning just for a few moments about lessons we learn on the journey of life and how God can use so many different people and so many different things on the journey. This church wasn't built overnight. Some had skills in carpentry and masonry and plumbing and electrical, and others had gifts in decorating and design and planning and programming. Took a lot of hands to fulfill the mission. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11 says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: 'Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' And the crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee.'" Our journey in life, we oftentimes can only see the present. We're so focused on the present. Perspective is everything. How we view things, how we see things. Everything seems either large or small. We see life as vast. College is a long way off. A dollar is a lot of money. But age changes everything. And so this morning I want to look at the journey of the lives of those this morning from six different perspectives from the text that I read to you. Thank God you have been faithful and obedient. First of all, the journey from the eyes of the disciples. I wonder this morning what the disciples thought when they got the command from Jesus. I wonder what you thought first when Pastor said, we need to enlarge our campus. I wonder what maybe some of you thought when all of a sudden you were running 140 people in a sanctuary that seated 87. What are we going to do? It seemed gigantic. Well, Jesus told the disciples to do something that was quite unique as well. From the eyes of the disciples, they probably thought, what in the world are you asking us to do? Pastor, what are you asking us to do? If we could put that in the present stage this morning. How are we going to buy 20 acres of land? Where are we going to get the money? I understand there's not a lot. He said there are some very wealthy people, but not a lot. No, he didn't say that. There's virtually just people that attend this church, common folk. How are we going to do it? Disciples looked at Jesus and they said, what in the world are you asking us to do? In fact, they might have said in modern English, but Master, that sounds pretty stupid. You're telling us to go into town and to, yeah, is that what you're telling us? And do what you said? Are you playing a trick on us, God? What are people going to think? What are people going to say? What if? What if? I think it is strange. All other special interest groups are not concerned about what others think, but oftentimes the church is. What if? What if? Maybe we should be bolder and stand up for the freedom and for our beliefs. Disciples said, I don't know, Father. I don't know, Master. This isn't a common request. This isn't something, you know, whatever. They could have questioned like sometimes we question. Let me give you another perspective. The journey from the eyes of the servants. The servants. Jesus basically told them to do something in our culture that would have been very questionable. You're telling us, go get me a donkey and a colt, you will find tied there. Here's where obedience comes in sometimes. How many times have we been asked or sensed the Holy Spirit telling us something and we have refused and consequently have lost out on a blessing? Servant said, Master, you want us to basically go and steal a donkey. You're telling us to do something that is really quite contrary. And yet I'm sure that as they communicated, however it might have been, they knew that they could trust their master. They had followed him. They had seen his teachings become very evident in their lives and in others' lives. But if the servants hadn't been obedient, they would have missed out on the blessing, wouldn't have they? They're probably wondering, what are the owners going to say when we go into town? What are they going to say when we want to go and just untie your donkey? And no, so, you know, Jesus or our master said, just go get the donkey, it'll be tied there. And so they're going, yeah, right. How do I know for sure this is the right thing, they might have thought? How about this? God, show me a sign first. Have you ever been there? Believers trust God. Church members trust God. This congregation trusted God and said, if God spoke, then we believe. And because they believed, miracles began to happen. I sat with Pastor and his wife last night for a few moments, and they were sharing with me some of the stories of how God has provided for this congregation. You tell that to other congregations and say, well, how does that happen? It's a miracle. Well, yes, and Pastor even referred to it this morning. Miracles you have literally seen miracles happen before your own eyes. Maybe the owner of the donkeys have servants, and they're watching the donkeys, and they won't let us have them. Maybe that's what they were thinking. However, obedience to God always brings a blessing. Obedience to God always brings a blessing. Thirdly, the journey from the eyes of the donkey. You've never heard a sermon about the donkey before, have you? From the eyes of the... What's a donkey thinking in this story? Not referring that any of you are donkeys this morning, but maybe the donkey is thinking, I don't want to go with you because I am comfortable here and my needs are met here. Have you ever been in a situation where you've asked somebody to do something that's maybe a little beyond and out of their comfort zone to go, well, no, I really don't want to do that. No, I don't want to teach. No, my needs are met here. I'm comfortable here. Maybe the donkey is saying, no, please, I don't want to be involved in this because this is kind of risky. And boy, if I'm caught not tied to the tree, my owner, you know, you can put in all the blanks you want there, fill in them all. Or maybe the donkey is saying, tell me first why you are taking me, or I can be stubborn. Tell me first. Pastor, no, I'm not sure. Or Deacon, no, I'm not sure. Or honey, no, I'm not sure. I want to know the whole story first. How often is a church guilty of that? I want to know the whole story first before I'll step out in faith. Any of you ever remember the old hymn we used to sing? Launch out into the deep and let the shoreline go. How many remember that old hymn? Yeah, that doesn't talk about having the rope tied to the shore. It talks about just launching out and trusting God. Tell me first why you are taking me, or I can be stubborn, or maybe this is not a part of my normal routine. This is not a part of my normal routine. Or maybe the donkey is saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? God can use me? I think sometimes that's where we as church people, we get excited, we hear a message, the Holy Spirit's working in our lives, and we get all excited, and maybe we could think like maybe the donkey was thinking, yes, untie me, I get to go and be used of God. Give me some freedom. I want to be a part of the plan. I want to be a part of the dream. I want to be a part of the vision. Maybe that's where some of you were. A positive thing. Yes, Pastor, let's go for it. I believe in it. I'm sure some of you were. You think Jesus can use me? Or maybe the donkey is even saying, yes! Yes! I get to be the one that Jesus rides on. I get to be the one. I can be used. Oh, I pray often, God, give me a church full of people that oftentimes think they might be insignificant and maybe have baggage that come in the door, but they walk in and they say, God, whatever I've got, just take it and use it. Yes, call me. Yes, use me. Allow me to be a part of the kingdom. Allow me to be a part of the dream. Allow me to be a part of the vision. I don't want to drag my feet. I want to be used however it might be. I think oftentimes we discredit the donkey. And yet the donkey, I don't see in the scripture the donkey was digging in his heels. I think from what I see, they untied the donkey and he just went on out. Sure, use me. How about maybe the journey from the eyes of the owner of the colt? Oh, you're taking my possessions. You're asking me to give money. You're taking some of my resources. Maybe he is saying, I don't care if Jesus told you, he didn't tell me. You ever been there? Oh, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or Mr. or Mrs., you know, God told me, you know, and you go like, wait a minute. Maybe the owner is saying, well, if God wants me to give my donkey, you tell God to tell me. I don't sense something. It's a little risky, isn't it, sometimes when someone comes up to you and says, you know, God's been speaking to my heart and God's been telling me. Or maybe the owner is saying, well, why do I listen to you? Why do I have to listen to you? Or maybe the owner of the colt is saying, this doesn't seem right, and how am I going to explain this to my family? Now, there have been times in my life when I've had to make some decisions that affected my family. And I've asked God, how are you going to help me to explain this? You know, all these characters in this story were all a part and involved in this great plan and this great vision that Jesus had. Or maybe the owner is saying, if Jesus said so, yes, I want to be a blessing. Take my resources. I'd love to be around people like that. Gather together on a Sunday morning and they hear of a need in the congregation, and the next thing I know, people are lined up to help with that family, help with that need. Need a building built, they're ready to line up and go build the building. Now they're willing to get the building paid for, and they can expand, and the church can be larger, and they can bless other people and bless more missionaries and bless more children. And man, this is a great day in the kingdom of God. Look at the resources you now have to minister and to continue to expand how God has been so faithful to you, congregation. This is a joyous day. Fifth, the journey from the eyes of the crowd. What are the neighbors thinking now? You mean that little building in Wilson? You mean that small congregation in Wilson? They're going to build this building? You mean Jesus is going to come into the city on a donkey? What does the crowd think? What is the crowd saying? Well, they might say, well, here is Jesus. Now everything will be okay. We don't have to do anything. Jesus is here. Problems are all taken care of. Let me tell you something, church. It's a great day here in Wilson, but your job isn't done. There's much more to do. There's a parking lot to put in. There are mission fields to be conquered. There are activities and ministries. Now you can continue to expand your ministries, and God can continue to bless. These are exciting days for the church. You don't have to pay it all to the bank anymore. You can give some eternally, or more anyway. Maybe the crowd's saying, well, maybe they possibly thought, well, now he is their provider, and maybe they thought maybe he's more their provider than savior. I don't know what they might have thought. Well, Jesus is here. Everything's going to be okay now. They could only see him in the flesh. Someone who was only for the moment of need or celebration. They could only see him as a hero or a celebrity. But he is more than that. And he was more than that. And then, journey from the eyes of Jesus. What does Jesus see this morning? He sees your faithfulness. He sees your obedience. He sees your love for others. Jesus, though he knew why he was coming in and what was ahead, he rode in with courage and boldness and love. No fear. Jesus rode in as he comes in the Holy Spirit this morning, approachable to the people. Approachable to the people. He was aware of the needs of the people. He understood that the people could only imagine the present and not the future. I tell you this morning, friends, this church is on a journey, and so are our lives. Our lives are on a journey, and many of us, we don't know what tomorrow holds. All I know is we can invest in tomorrow in our lives and with our lives. Our lives are a journey. We don't know what's in store, but we know who holds the future. Let's not only look at the present, but continue to believe and say, what if? What if? What if I made myself available, even as all the characters in the story this morning? What if I made myself available? What if I was asked to provide, to fill a need, or to be used? What if I need to move out of my comfort zone in the near future? What if I would say, I do believe that God can use me, even though in the eyes of many people I seem to be insignificant. God can use me in the future. And what if we would get the thrill of saying, yes, yes, God did use me. Yes, to God's call in our lives to be a blessing to others. And what if we would ask for a new boldness that's not driven by fear, but driven by love, that our lives would touch and serve others as we too go on our journey throughout life in the greater Wilson area? I believe God has a use for everyone in the church today. I still love children, and I still love teens. I was involved in full-time vocational ministry for 30 years in youth ministry. It was the best job I ever had, was working with students and kids and children. And I'm so thrilled when I see little boys and little girls learn to love Jesus. Yesterday, at Spencer Lake Christian Center, one of our campgrounds, our camp administrator has started something very incredible called A Taste of Christmas. And him and his staff, they decorate the entire grounds, lights, live nativity set, music going all day long, hay rides, couldn't have sleigh rides, no snow, thank God. I mean, activities, there was a place where they had baked all these goods for people that could come in. Children were coming in by the hundreds and thousands of people were there. The whole community, the whole part of the state comes out to taste of Christmas at Spencer Lake. Kids are making gingerbread houses and story time, and there was activities going, and there were vendors there. It was incredible. One thing he started was a free rummage sale. And at that free rummage sale, we started out in one building about 6 years ago. Now it's in two buildings, and everything is free. Staff get together, and now other organizations are coming together. The Catholic Church in town set a covered wagon out, or trailer that was covered, and had free toys, where people would bring new toys and give to this free rummage sale. One of our workers was there yesterday, and it was mid-afternoon, and I walked up to him, or I saw him, and I said, how'd the rummage sale go? He said, Larry, one thing made my day. Rummage sale opened at 9:30. At 8:30, they were lined up from the building all the way across the highway. Cars were lined up for blocks up and down the highway. Every parking lot was full for the entire day. And I said, well, what happened at the rummage sale? Less fortunate people would walk in there, and one family was from overseas, and he said, there's no price tags on this stuff. How much do I pay for it? And I said, no, it's free. And I said, what do you mean? And we had to explain it to him 3-4 times. No, you can have it. You can have it. It's free. One lady reached down, single mom, handed a little girl a Bible. He said, I stood there, and he got tears in his eyes, and he told me. And she said, here's a Bible for you. You can have this. She jumped up and down and said, Mom, my own Bible? I have my own Bible. I get my own Bible. She started, thank you, I got my own Bible. You see, the journey we're on is a long ways to go. And you might be working at a rummage sale. You might be teaching a Sunday school class or whatever. I declare to you this morning, our ministry is not done. We burnt the paper this morning, but we are just now getting some momentum. There's a lot more to do in the kingdom of God, and God can use everyone in the church. No matter who you are or your background, God wants to use you. An old chorus used to go, to be used of God, to show someone the way. You know, I leave a lot of churches, and over the entrance it says, as you're going out, you're now entering your mission field. I'd love to see the motto put up, to be used of God, to show someone the way. That's what this church is doing. It's built to show someone the way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we are so grateful for your love and provision for this congregation. Their faithfulness has been amazing. And God, I pray this morning that even as we burnt the mortgage, faith would arise within us now. You have shown yourself to be faithful. This congregation has been able to pay off this bill. But I pray now that they would believe for greater things are yet to come. There's a city to be won. There's a community to be won. Our days ahead can be fruitful days for the kingdom of God. I pray a blessing on this congregation as they forge forward. I pray that faith will continue to arise, and I pray a blessing on them. I pray a blessing on Pastor and his wife and their family as they continue to serve in such a great exemplary way. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you. Pastor?
What a great message this morning. Although we celebrate the past, it's spurring us on in the future. Really appreciate it. I was thinking about, as he was preaching, you know, we've celebrated the building today, but the real church is you. The real church is the people. We are living stones, and we have a place of ministry. And this building really is just a tool for us to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So although we celebrate the building, we're celebrating the true church as well. We're celebrating you today. I failed to mention, and some of you might be interested in this, that we borrowed $450,000 to build the church. It cost us $940,000 to build it with the land. So we borrowed about half. So we paid off that $450,000 in less than 8 years. And the insurance company has estimated the value of the church to be $1.9 million. So a small rural church, you know, to have that kind of thing is building is only a testimony to the greatness of God and the generosity of his people. That's why I say it's a miracle. To me, there's no human way to explain it. And, you know, and we are still, our old building still isn't paid off. So we were able to do that without even getting all the money that's owed us yet from that sale. That sale is ongoing. So again, I just am so overwhelmed with gratefulness. And to have Brother Levy here today and Sister Levy, just a special, special time for me. And I hope that you enjoy his ministry. Make them feel welcome today. And we are privileged to have another pastor in the midst, retired pastor, Bill Nicholson, pastored in Cornell. And I don't know where all he's pastored. I know he used to travel for GPH and got to hear him speak at district council promoting GPH and different things. But great to have you with us, you and your wife, Bill. Would you please dismiss us in prayer and ask for a blessing upon the food and fellowship that we have? Everybody is welcome to stay, Fellowship Hall, just out one of these doors and down the long hallway. Bless you. Thank you.